Next issue, the digital heartland revs up. Just as the legacy systems are grinding their way through, we see NewCo, or the breakaway civilization, taking the $40 trillion and moving forward at lightning speeds to invest and reinvest. Everywhere you go in the United States where those industries or worlds are strong, whether it's Silicon Valley or Dallas and Austin and the oil patch, Boston, wherever you go to the sort of the toolmaker areas, the toolmakers are booming. But it's more than just those areas. What we're seeing now is a lot of the technology that have been developed by the toolmakers over the last 20 to 30 years are now headed into the heartland. And as part of this, what we're seeing is a dramatic increase in the ability to transfer intelligence from bits into atoms or hardware or back to bits. We're doing a Soleri report on 3D printing next week, and I'm very much looking forward to that, and we'll go into this in much greater detail there. Part of what's happening is not just technology. So, for example, a 3D printer can take a design in a piece of 3D software and convert it into a material good very easily, one by one, or I shouldn't say easily, it does take time, but it can convert from bits to atoms. But the other thing that's happening is the prices are dropping. So the price has been dropping on this kind of software for many decades. And because the price has been dropping, the ease of using the software is improving. And so many more people now know how to use it. And so in many different areas, we're reaching a critical mass where technology is making a real practical day-to-day difference. And as that happens in different areas, those areas combine to accelerate all sorts of opportunities. So we see composite materials being developed that now, in combination with fabrication technology, can make a much lighter engine or a much lighter plane or a much lighter car that's very well engineered. So these things are having, as they integrate, are having sort of very leapfrogging kinds of impacts. And again, now we're talking about integrating these kinds of technologies into everyday life. So we see lots of discussion of the driverless cars or digital highways, or we see lots of discussions of the different things that can now be done in terms of building a home and integrating this kind of technology into a home. So we're really talking about moving into the everyday infrastructures of life. One of the questions I got and asked Catherine was a question about solar panels and why I was discussing solar panels. Solar panels are now approaching, we haven't gotten there yet, but approaching the kind of efficiency levels that is expected to make solar very competitive with other forms of energy, particularly coal. And the poster points out that that's far from the only problem with solar. I couldn't agree more. With many renewable energies, there's a real issue as to can we create batteries that can store the energy and even out the supply, which would make solar much more efficient, and a lot of the renewable energies much more efficient. And no one, I think, or certainly I don't know the answer to that, but I do believe the day will come when solar panels reach a 50% or more efficiency and we solve the battery battery challenge or opportunity. And when that happens, we're talking about the potential for great leapfrogs. Ditto with the composite materials. You know, if the day comes that we can make a car with graphene or make a plane with graphene, we're talking about dramatically greater fuel efficiency. Anyway, we'll talk a lot more about this starting with a 3D printer next week. But make no mistake, this kind of technology can be unbelievably deflationary, both for commodities and for financial capital. What you're talking about in the long run, if you can dramatically speed up the speed at which you can change bits to atoms and atoms to bits, then in fact what you're talking about is you're talking about needing a lot less inventory or people doing a lot more for themselves. And what that does is that squeezes out the amount of financial capital you need within a system. And it creates a world where technology stocks or the stocks of the companies that know how to integrate this are much more attractive than precious metals. So let's keep an eye on this sort of digital heartland development, because I think it can have a dramatic impact on the IPO markets. And it's one of the reasons I wanted to do a major overview on crowdfunding, because crowdfunding is going to be one of the ways that you provide lots of capital to lots of startups and small businesses that can prototype this technology in very dramatic ways and really lead the integration in a way that the large companies won't necessarily be able to do.